Blog Talk Radio.
They say we living in the last days, so I'ma steady put you first till my last day. Even if I stand alone, I know it's better than conforming to a world morals are irrelevant. It's so evident we lie to feel accepted. The face behind the mask is afraid to be rejected. So we neglect the intellect that our spirit speaks. We search the world to be content but never finding peace. That piece of our peace is only found in you. We'll puzzle cause the puzzle piece is missing truth. Look around, it's like we searching for that blues clue. We got the knowledge but we do the things that fools do. That's why I gotta be the difference. It's time to redefine the meaning of a Christian. These hypocrites don't make the people wanna listen. So instead, they support these rappers killing off our children. So many rappers, so much talent. Competing for a title, man, I just let them have it. They trying to be the best, but I know the greatest. They trying to make it big, I know the one who made it. I hit a model rapper who's a Christian. Some put the rapper first just to get the world to listen, and I get it. But sometimes they take it out of context. Forget about God, they trying to be the one who got next. And we've been purchased by the king, but too many of our souls are repossessed because of greed. Now wait a minute, understand what I mean. See, we always want to take, but we ain't never taking heed. The American dream, we work hard so we can live it out. But God can bless America if we kick him out. And what's the point of standing up if we ain't standing out? It's time to start living this life that we preach about. I wake up every morning to a sick church. Christian rappers only real focus is a sick verse. It gets worse, we're robbing them like a snatched purse. Oh yeah, we're quick to sell them God, but never teach them how to put them first. So I'ma go and say it first. Christianity is more than just a message on your t-shirt. And it's more than a religion that the world hates. It's that hope you never had in the first place. See, he's that cool in your hot day. He's that smile on your hot day. He's like dinner on a Sunday. You know when grandma cooking and she pack you that to-go plate. See, it's the little things that we take for granted. Like they ask what's going on, are you aggravated? You don't trust nobody, you say love is overrated. But God is love, you're just being complicated. See, love is always bigger than its context. That's probably why we take it out of context. See, we done turned love into a contest. These women coming for your man like I got next. We got to book a life, but no class. And some of y'all will do anything for a Boaz. And after this, most of y'all gonna be real mad. Man, I'm mad too, why you think I just now? We try to use the world to define us. Man, we so lost that the lost trying to find us. And God said he looking like rise up. And if you selling out, boy, get your price up. God wants the ones to carry their cross. Look, it's time to rise up, man, church, take off. I ain't trying to throw stones to seek you off. I'm just saying, if the shoe fits, then kick it off.
Thank you.
Moment, but I'm just so grateful everyone was able to join us on this evening. Thank you, everyone who's joining with us today, not just on the by calling in, but absolutely hitting the link and joining us directly via the internet. I wanted to just give a shout out to our team in Chicago and Baltimore, Fort Lauderdale as well. So all you young adults that are sticking to it and doing what you're doing and walking in integrity. My name is Serena, and my co-host and partner and our other host is Monica. I really do thank you. We all thank you for joining us and supporting us and having conversations that us women would have and not just the conversations we have with each other, but the conversations we would find ourselves having with our brothers, sons, and fathers as well. These are topics that are very, very real today. I just want to give a silent prayer right now and remembering the families in Texas and throughout all of our country and globally who are experiencing a trauma, a crisis, or tragedy today. And then to the mothers, you guys know that we were celebrating mothers for the month of May. The entire month of May is a dedication to mothers. We are going to be dedicating June and July to fathers and speaking about some of the issues of men, but right now we're talking about our mothers and our single mothers. And the topic of this discussion today, as a lot of you have seen throughout Facebook, is clowns with crowns. The clowns with crowns, and I'm going to tell you guys what that means in a moment and what that means for me. But the reason why we chose that topic and in dedication to our mothers and sisters and grandmothers, we have a lot of people, a lot of our sisters in the kingdom who set out to do work and do what's pleasing to God and being obedient, and then find themselves in a very vulnerable place or very vulnerable position because of their eagerness and willingness, and then in an area where we all believe that trust should be unparalleled and unlimited. And so we kind of go in head first and believe that this is something we should do, especially when we haven't been trained properly or had the proper guidance and having those relationships. Some of us come from broken homes or from those homes that had traditions or traditions of man or religion that said that women should be quiet and or you shouldn't speak out too soon or you don't stand up for yourself. So many of us were conditioned to believe that we just should not be confrontational. But I'm here to tell you that standing up for yourself does not mean that you're confrontational. I want to give a definition to discretion because this is going to be so important in our relationships and going forward as we find that we are growing, healing, and being delivered and breaking off old ideas and coming into the new ideas and the newness of what God is doing for us in our lives forward. If you find yourself here even listening to this conversation, obviously God is doing something because you're here and you're listening to this broadcast right now. But discretion is the quality of behaving or speaking in such a way as to avoid causing offense or revealing private information. It also has a second definition that's similar to the noun, freedom, the freedom to decide what should be done in a particular situation. Keyword, freedom. Freedom. So the reason why I wanted to read that definition is because we do have the freedom to decide how, when, where, and why we share certain information. God does want his daughters especially to use discretion when we're meeting people, speaking to people, talking to people, and especially those who may be pursuing us, whether it's a male or a female. And what I mean by that, and when it, especially when it comes to fellowship. But right now we're talking about male-female relationships, especially in relationships of bondage and relationships that can lead to soul ties, that especially when they become unhealthy soul ties and manipulation. And the reason why we went into this and we chose this topic is for about 3 years now, I have seen this thing that happened. And especially when I started acting or doing anything in Facebook, I've had women and men alike share with me their experiences and trauma and relationships that they have had when they were seeking fellowship with God and seeking what their assignment is or what they were appointed to do. And it has traumatized them in a way. We have so many brothers and sisters who were so vulnerable and some even gullible at times and falling into not just abusive relationships, but relationships that misuse, misjudge, and then sabotage a person's reputation and their faith in their walk. And that is a horrible, horrible, horrible thing. My co-host Monica has joined us today, too. Thank you, Monica, for joining in. I really appreciate you being there. I'm just going to introduce you again to everybody. We have a few people with us, and you can just give a shout-out when you get a moment. But I am going to play this. It's something by Genetics. A young lady called Genetics. I know you guys are going to find this interesting. And then we're going to come back and we're going to share in this topic of clowns with crowns and what we could do to avoid this type of heartache in the future and avoid being misused and misunderstood, you know, and by any means necessary. And so right now I am going to play Genetics and you'll find this interesting.
So it seemed that it was cool for everyone to be in a relationship but me. So I took matters into my own hands and ended up with him. Display the characteristics of a cheater, a liar, an abuser, and a thief. So why was I surprised when he broke into my heart? I called 911, but I was cardiac arrested for aiding and abetting because it was me who let him in, claiming we were just friends. It was already decided for me by the first date that even if he wasn't, I was going to make him the one. You know, I was tired of being alone, and I simply made up in my mind that it was about that time, so I decided to drag him along for the ride, because I was always the bridesmaid and never the bride. Virgin in the physical, but mentally just a grown woman on the corner, and he was tired of the wait. So I was going to make him the one. He had a form of godliness, but not much. But hey, I can change him, so I'll take him. I mean, he's close enough. Ready to sell my aorta for a quarter, not knowing the value of its use to me. Arteries so clogged with my will, it blocked his will from flowing through me. So I thank Christ that his blood pressure gave this heart an attack that flatlined my obscured vision, put me flat on my back. Through my ignorance, he saw. So through my sternum, he sawed and cracked open my chest to transplant Psalms 51:10. A new heart and a renewed right spirit within. So now I fully understand, better yet, I thoroughly comprehend how much I need to wait for you. See, the bad thing is that I knew he wasn't you from the beginning. because in the beginning was the Word, and he didn't even sound or shine like your son. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and all he could whisper was sweet, empty nothings, which meant nothing. He couldn't even pray what I needed him to. Asking him to fast would be absurd, so forget about being cleansed and washed with water through the Word. But I know you. You are already praying for me. Even never having met me, let me assure you, I will wait for you. I will no longer date, socialize, or communicate with carbon copies of you to appease my boredom or to quench my thirsty desire for attention and short-lived compliments from sorta kinda. You know he's sorta kinda right, but sorta kinda wrong. His first name Luke, his last name Warm. I won't settle for false companionship. I won't lay in the embrace of his arms, attempting to find some closeness, but never feeling so far apart, because I just want to be held. Because all I gotta do is say no. No more almost sessions of almost coming close, passing winks and buying drinks, and I'm a flirt. Who flirts with the ideology of, can you just tell me how much I can get away with and still be saved? No more. I'll stay in my bed alone and write poems about how I will wait for you. He won't even come close. Our fingers won't even interlock. We won't even exchange breath, because I have thoughts that I've saved as, and a fire that God has only equipped you to open. I will no longer get weighted down from so-called friends and family talks about the concern for my biological clock when I serve the author of time. Who is not subject to time, but I'm subject to him. He has the ability to stop, fast forward, pause, or rewind at any given time. So if we could role play, you would be Abraham and I would be Sarah. Or you could be Isaac and I could be Rebecca, a servant's answered prayer. I am bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh, made up of your rib, Adam. And once we meet, like electrons, I will be bound to your nucleus, completely indivisible, atom. We even speak the same math. 1 + 1 + 1 = 3, which really equals 1 if you add them. We were all created in his image, but you have the ability to reflect, project, and even detect the sun. If I were to explain what you look like, you would have to look like a star, a son of the sun. I would gain energy simply from the light that you shine on me. I would need you in order to complete my photosynthesis. I await your revelation, but once again from the Genesis, I will wait for you. And I will know you, because when you speak, I will be reminded of Solomon's wisdom. Your ability to lead will remind me of Moses. Your faith will remind me of Abraham. Your confidence in God's word will remind me of Daniel. Your inspiration will remind me of Paul. Your heart for God will remind me of David. Your attention to detail will remind me of Noah. Your integrity will remind me of Joseph. And your ability to abandon your own will remind me of the disciples. But your ability to love selflessly and unconditionally will remind me of Christ. But I won't need to identify you by any special Matthews or any special marks, because this word will be tatted all over your heart. And you will know me, and you will find me where the boldness of Esther meets the warm closeness of Ruth, where the hospitality of Lydia is aligned with the submission of Mary, which is engulfed in the tears of a praying Hannah. I will be the one drenched in Proverbs 31, waiting for you. But to my Father who has known me before I was birthed into this earth, only if you should see fit. I desire your will above mine, so even if you call me to a life of singleness, my heart is content with you, the one who has sinned. You are the greatest love story ever told, the greatest love ever known. You are forever my judge, and I'm forever your witness. And I pray that I'm always found on a mission about my Father's business. I will always be yours. and I will always wait for you, Lord, more than the watchmen wait for the morning. More than the watchmen wait for the morning, I will wait.
I tried to told y'all.
Wow. I love, 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 love that. I love it. I love it. I love it. Because it gives us as daughters of God that when I listen to that and so many other things that our Father has given us, he puts the responsibility back in our hands on how we allow people to treat us. The topic of clowns with crowns is not to bash anyone or to bring discord into the body of Christ or in our communities, but to recognize what we're doing and how we're allowing ourselves to be treated. Also to understand that soul ties are formed in non-romantic relationships too. We can find ourselves in a place of bondage with family members in the kingdom, church, groups, cliques, all that stuff. Anything that does not manifest God's word when we talk about liberty and what liberty is and where we should be finding ourselves in a place of liberty. If we find ourselves in a position and in any instance that says, I'm compromised, I'm not celebrated, I don't feel free, I don't feel like I could say what I want to say, I can't correct you, I can't even begin to challenge you, then we need to run. Another thing we have to recognize in our family relationships in the body of Christ and in the kingdom is this, that we don't have the ability to change anyone. We don't. But we have a responsibility to protecting ourselves, our family members, and our households. There are people who are in situations or find themselves in circumstances that lead to bondage and ownership. If you hear these words, you should not, or you can't, or I think this is, or this is what God told me that you should or you are, that's not perfect alignment. It's not perfect alignment because our Father doesn't speak that way. Our Father in heaven, he speaks in a way that gives us confirmation. Something will speak to your spirit and you'll be able to receive it. I have seen and experienced in my own life having people tell me who I am and totally misunderstanding who I am. I thought it was me at first, and then I would entertain how people misunderstood me because I thought discretion was key. I thought that, oh, well, you know, just don't say anything. And a lot of times I do practice, you know, just being quiet until I understand where a person is really coming from. What I found out was that that could be even detrimental to my own health. Because if I'm communicating with someone, especially long term, and they really don't understand who I am, then who do you think I am? If you don't understand who I am, and if you're getting me wrong and you think that I'm this person, then what are you manifesting in our prayer life? What are you manifesting in our prayer life? I am going to open up the floor and so that people could discuss their experiences. If you want to, if you don't, that's fine. But all you have to do is just raise your hand or type me a question, whether you're on Facebook or here in the chat or in our Teams chat or in Zoom. Either way, you can let us know if you want to speak or share a question if you have a question about this topic. But one of the things I wanted to point out that is so important, and what I like that the young lady with genetics was saying, when she said lukewarm, these are the signs that we see when we're dealing with not just narcissism, Not just narcissism, because let's not get it confused. These aren't just all narcissistic people. Sometimes we're encountering a spirit, someone who's influenced by a spirit who's been assigned to our lives to oppress, destroy, distract, wear us out, and more importantly, dilute who we are. That's so important to focus on that. If someone is coming into my life and they dilute who I am, forget getting me wrong and telling the wrong story about me. A lot of us are going to experience that, but that doesn't even matter. But how about knowing that God has set you on a path, and this is your purpose, and you're gung ho for it, and you're going at what you got to go at, you're going after what and fulfilling your purpose and walking your walk, and next thing you know, you feel stagnated. You don't have the energy. Now you're tired. Now you're doing what someone else wants you to do, who hasn't even define their own life and purpose, but now they're telling you what you should be doing, and you're doing it. And they haven't even gotten a clue. I think one of the things that we're not aware of is when we're being drawn on and we're being diluted, our momentum. I heard a young lady say that once, and our default character, people, we can fall into a place in our default character and forget that we're no longer that default character. We're that renewed, restored person. So now when we start entertaining things that dilute us, we start defaulting back to an old person, whether that person was scared or lived in fear or lived in worry or procrastination or just making some bad choices and bad decisions. That when we're diluted, we're not thinking clearly, and our momentum and our purpose is being diluted. One, we're being diluted because we're being misunderstood, but there's a spirit that's assigned to a person that can cause us to be diluted when people are not walking in the fullness of who they are in God. When someone is being used or influenced or just made a conscious decision that I'm just going to play with people, I'm going to play games with people. So let me just be real frank. So let's talk here. So I had a young lady tell me just last week that she was pursued by a gentleman on Facebook, and he put himself above what he really was monetarily, and he shared that he not just was in a certain position, but he was in a certain position spiritually. And I'm trying to use discretion, you guys, because I don't want to tell someone's business. And next thing you know, he's not just consuming her time. He's got her trying to fix things that he claimed that he had a secretary for. Next thing you know, that she's having to call other people and bring other people in trying to fix something. And in lieu of that, what was revealed was that the things that he said he was, what he was not. He had been lying. He had been lying. That's not the first time that I have encountered that. And this lady was so devastated. She was so devastated because she's a leader. She's got a lot of people that she teaches and she mentors as well. To find that in this day and age, and this gentleman was over 70 years old, that he would have the mentality that he would feel that he needs to pursue someone that way to get what he wants. That he would pursue someone in a position or in a place to feel like he was going to not just take advantage of her at 70 years old now, mind you, a little bit over 70, but he was also going to have her pull her people in and do what he needed them to do for his purpose. And this was some monetary involvement too, because now he also wanted some type of funds and support to do some certain things. So I'm just being a little discreet here for you guys to understand what's happening, not just on Facebook and social media, but this is something that's going on. And these clowns with crowns are literally saying, yep, I know you're vulnerable. I believe you're gullible. I believe you're so lonely that you're going to let me do this. And you love God so much, or you want a husband so badly, you want a relationship so badly, and I'm going to do this thing. So now, what about the women who are married who aren't looking for relationships? Or women like myself, or like you and I, or those who are single who are understanding who God is, and we know that we wait on God, and we eagerly go in wanting to do what God told us to do, and people not only just misunderstand you, but attempt to misuse you. How about they don't even attempt to misuse you? How about they do? How about you do get used and you feeling abused because your intentions was to do the right thing, the godly thing? And next to you, before you know it, you're sitting not just in a snake pit, but possibly in a den with some hyenas, trying to feed some hyenas. You going out breaking your neck and you're feeding hyenas. And they're looking at you because you have the ability to do some things that they can't do as hyenas or even snakes. How do we avoid those situations? You know, what do we do? Because these clowns with crowns are out there. They're out there. You know, I know that we don't have a neon signs. You know, you don't get warning signs and things like that. But I'm here to tell you that verification is everything. And if a person there's verify everything. Let me start there. We must, as daughters of a king, as queens, we can't just take a person at their word. We have to verify what we're doing. We absolutely have to verify and be careful about who we endorse. I have found myself endorsing people in situations before I even asked my father. If they said Jesus, I was all for it. If someone said Jesus to me, I was like, oh, that's it. They're in the kingdom. They love Jesus. If they prayed and said a good prayer or gave a good word, that was it. I believed it. Oh, that's a man of God. That's a woman of God. Yes. And the church did not teach us to stop and pray and then verify a person's character. No one told us this is how you verify a character. We must do that. No one even gave us a map. And only through experience for me, I mean, some people have had that upbringing where they were able to find out or they had a guidance, you know, or a support system. But what about those of us who don't, men and women alike, who don't have that support system that taught us ways to judge a person's character and verify a person's character? The things that we should be looking for is honesty, reliability. Are they competent? You know, a lot of times, you know, we find people who are a little troubled. They're not on drugs all the time or alcoholics or have a mental disability. They're just not spiritually competent, kind or compassionate. You know, not capable of accepting their own blame. Persevering, you know, everything becomes everybody else's fault, modest or humble, not able to control their anger become abusive, outbursts, that kind of thing. You know, these are just things off the top of my head that I could think about that we should be reconsidering in our fellowshipping relationships. And I'm not speaking to just the single women. I'm talking about just the fellowship. Forget relationships. Forget a husband or a potential husband or a boyfriend. Let's scratch that. Let's start from the basics of our kingdom relationships and how we communicate with people, especially men, as daughters. How do we communicate about that? What are we communicating about who we are? So that's why I really, really like the idea of feeling that the Holy Spirit is telling me in just this unction of being able to take direct responsibility and exposure. And what I mean by exposure, no, not jumping out there on Facebook or any other social media or your church members or family members and telling someone else's business. For example, let's say that Billy Bob is one of these clowns with the crown, and Billy Bob is decided that he's a liar and a cheat, and he's taking advantage of Susie, No Clue, and Deidre Ditsy, who doesn't have a clue at all, and we know this. We're supposed to expose that. We're supposed to go to Billy Bob and say, you know what, I see you. I see what you've done. Or if you happen to be that person, hey, guess what? I need to share something with you because this is wrong. This is wrong, and I can't pursue this relationship with you. I can't pursue this fellowship with you. You understand? If it's something where you could bring a witness with you, then that's great. But by all means, we should cut it off at the head. We should cut it off at the head until God gives further direction about those relationships. I've had many of them myself. I've had many of them where I've gone back and I said, well, let me follow God's rule and his assignment for me. And then I get accused of, and which is absolutely okay, because we'll get accused of being a switcheroo. People tell, I have been told, you, I have no longevity. I have also been told, oh, you switch up in a minute. Yeah, I do. I do. I will switch up in a minute. And the reason why I'll switch up is because I have the right to do so. If you were not for me and you were meant to traumatize me or hurt me, or you're taking away from the quality of the life that I have worked so hard for, doesn't matter who it is, I have every right to say I cannot continue in that type of not just abuse, but that type of dilution. Just that type of dilution. Yep. And Monica, I see that you're settled in your office, but what do you have to say so far about what we're talking about?
Well, so far, I was over here trying to say something, and I'm like, okay, can't nobody hear me?
No,
what's
they can't
going
hear you.
On?
Look, I didn't know you was back in your
shut out, shut out. Ew. Everybody just like, everybody like, okay, is she over here? What happened? Ain't nobody even say, hey, where Monica at? Nothing. Y'all ain't even on my defense. What's going on? No, I'm just waiting. but yes, my office seems to be inside my car right now because I'm out
okay,
and about.
You're still
where
in the car?
At?
Okay.
I'm out and
yes,
about.
Ma'am.
Where the people at? And okay. I said, well, I just dropped off a couple, and I thought it was quite interesting. Yeah, I know we're bringing Live Chronicles to you soon, but they met when they were really young, and they went through college separated. They broke up so that they can do whatever they needed to do to get through life, and then they somehow ended up meeting back together after all of their career, you know, stuff. And I was like, you know what? This is the prime example of, remember I was telling Xavier on the Serena, we were talking about the semester of me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That first 25 years of your life and doing things. However, what I do understand is that a lot of our sisters and brothers out here do not have that not everybody has the same upbringing, or do they have the same circumstances? So when you're saying to, because I've done it, and people have even said, you know what, you just, don't like the idea that I'm saying to them, hey, you know, there are warning signs. You know what's lukewarm and what's not. You know this dude is no good for you, period. And I'm have to be a little blunt. You got there are women out here doing it right now. Your pH balance is off in your vajayjay areas and stuff. The dude ain't for you, unequivocally. It's just what it is. So, and it's also the same way for women. For, you know, the men dealing with women. There are women out here who are toxic, too. This has nothing, you're right, it does have nothing to do with narcissism.
Right, and it has nothing to do with the romantic relationships. I really believe that the core of how this starts is just in the core of communication and relationships. This is the core of how people enter into relationships. This is what leads to all the other bondage and everything. But how do we entertain and stay out of that place that puts us in bondage and soul ties? You know
what
I'm saying?
You have women who are hurting. You have women who are hurting. You have women who are conditioned, who have been abused a certain type of way. They've gone through molestation and conditioning from a childhood up until now that tells them, we need this. I'm supposed to have this. You know, just because a lot of women who are without their fathers go through that. So if you're, you're not getting the help or if you're not going into your own self and going, oh, you know, what is it that I'm willing to accept and what I won't, you know, even for the conditioned person, there's still a breaking point somewhere and people's processes are their processes. Eventually, either they wake up or they don't, or eventually they run across big girl talk and they hear somebody talking.
Right, and talking about experiences.
To their situation, and they get some kind of exposure. I believe that our, the creator of the universe has allowed us to have these different airways to speak and put messages out there to speak to the next person's soul to wake them up. And so, you know, even on this was a great topic because I have, even me, relationship, affianced and or not, I have male friends.
What
that
you
I've
mean,
had for
even
years
you? What you, have, what you mean, even you?
Even
you
me,
mean?
As a female, as a woman, whether engaged or in a relationship, preparing for marriage, different things or not, I have had people in my space previously in my past who have been toxic, who have been soul ties.
You?
I didn't recognize the
you.
You know.
What?
Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
You don't say.
Yes.
What? What do you mean?
Exactly. Just because it comes in different forms and fashions. Just because, don't think I just got all this enlightenment out of nowhere. Every relationship is a tool of enlightenment.
Tell us who it was. Who was it? Who was it? Tell me who it was. I'm just joking.
They old, dead, and gone now. So they ain't even nothing to speculate on. But you know, they are, and literally, like, they're old, dead, and gone. Like, they're dead. They're
no
longer on the plane.
But believe me, I know who it is. But I wanted to say this because
I'm about to say, I'm like, you know.
I remember.
Most of the time, because you've been the one calling me up, like, are you sure this is this?
Yeah. What made me think about that, Monica, was this, was that it happened so subtly. Hey, guys, wait, let me tell you how subtle it was. Because the person, it wasn't a fiancé relationship, nothing like this. Was a person that found themselves into a friendship with my daughter, and we really thought this was a family friend. We really thought it was a family friend, and it was so subtle. It was so subtle, and before we knew it, it was a case of bondage and deception and lies. And we found ourselves dancing around thinking that we could help this person. You understand? And so it's just like that. That's why I wanted to just say that, because while you were speaking, it reminded me of then and how subtle it was. How subtle.
Yeah.
It was just so subtle. So we have to verify a person, because when we look back at it on hindsight, we realize that there was a lot of things that we should have been verifying. And I don't mean a credit check or this credit score or a police background
Which
check.
You did
I'll
anyway,
because
you did
yeah,
all
I
that.
Yeah, I do that on everybody. Everybody get a background check. You know me.
Right.
You know my family. And especially if I know you got my address, background check. So if you don't want that, don't come fool with me. You and I won't dig in your background. But but seriously, yeah, there was a moment when I realized it was about the character of the person. See, this person didn't even have a bad background or anything like that. Not in the background check anyway. But the character of the person. There was some things that just didn't add up when we thought, when you think back in hindsight, that we get these little clues and we brush it off and go, and we dismiss things. But we are supposed to deal with things head on right away.
Right. And this is what saved me, even in my relationship now, it's a very fluid relationship. In regards to what we're doing and how we interact and what we're, how we're doing things. Prayer is definitely one of those things that has to be in place. And I'm like, and if you're not rocking with the Holy Spirit, that's a whole other ordeal. But I'm not really the person to do all that bashing. I don't do a whole lot of beating nobody over top of the head with no Bibles. I just let the turmoil come in and let the testers come in as they will. And if we can survive it, this is what it is. Again, what I have with a particular person is not necessarily needing to be explained amongst everybody or put out there for everybody. But that's another form of something that needs to be in place, too, when you're thinking about people in relationships, whether they're platonic or whatever the case may be. Not everybody should be painting out this business in front of everyone. And then also you have a lot of women and men alike who are figures in the church or church heads or God heads or, some type of spiritual head of some sort. And they are not practicing what they're preaching, or they're labeling themselves and running around and just spitting all kinds of stuff out and doing all kinds of things. And, people are watching them in hindsight and seeing their actions and going, okay, well, she says she prophetess so-and-so, or he prophetess so-and-so. And yet, they're doing things, and it's like, you're like, what are we really doing?
Or pastor so-and-so, or minister so-and-so, or
ministers
so-and-so. But let me say this, because this is so important, because this is in relationships and the way, not just the social media, but the way we communicate and how it's designed. People get so intimate so quickly. We got to remember prayer.
Well, we're intimate beings, period. But we just place it in the wrong place. It's being misplaced and misused.
But now prayer is a very intimate act also. Prayer is a door opener. It's a door opener. So we have to be mindful and I pray with a lot of different people. But what I don't do is let anyone to proselytize me. If I don't experience the Holy Spirit in my situation, then I have a problem. The one thing that we can't do is judge the flesh. So because what will happen is when you get hurt or slighted by a person, then you could close doors that shouldn't be closed. You understand what I'm saying? So you don't want to judge the flesh. So that's why I'm saying it this way, because prayer is very intimate. When we talk about our spiritual leaders and evangelists and things of that nature, don't judge anyone by the flesh. Judge people, especially in those relationships, by the anointing. Because I know some people cuckoo for Cocoa Puff. But when I'm in a spiritual place, in spiritual warfare, guess what? those are the folk I'm looking for. Let me, mm-hmm. I'm telling you, those are the folk that's going to get down and dirty with a demon. They're going to get down and dirty with some warfare. They're going to get down
not
and
only
dirty with
if
me
they have,
and do
only
battle.
Only if they have,
like I just
only,
said, anointing. Right. You have to judge,
right.
judge the anointing.
It's
because
not
the anointing of a person.
You,
mm-hmm.
It's not just the anointing, but their work and what they're doing, because they can have all of that and still be cursed.
Well, look here. This is why it's so important to know the character of a person, because, see, the anointing is going to come with the character. Look at me. This is why I tell people, don't misunderstand me. I had someone tell me, and people who are saved misunderstand me. They think that I'm still that old person. They think because I'm from New York or I'm Hispanic that I'm willing to do something illegal. Some people think it's okay to talk to me about illegal stuff. Some people think
right.
it's okay to talk to me about drugs and dope. Some people think it's okay to talk to me about stealing, and that's not true. I will drop you quicker than a hot potato. Now, I might cuss a person out in a minute, and I might even scuff a little bit, and I might curse. I might curse. God's still working with me. That's just honesty. But anything
right.
that takes away from my character, that takes stealing, lying, them shortcuts, all that street stuff and all that kind of stuff, that hustle mentality, get over on people, that kind of thing, no. I had to place on Facebook, don't send me no money, because I ain't asked for nobody to send me no money. And it's not because I didn't want it. It's because it was a lie. Someone had said and or had told certain people, yeah, you could make that donation. Yeah, she wants money. This, and people were feeling like, yeah, this is what I'm going to do. And then other people felt like, because they were so conditioned, they felt like, I'm going to send the money for you anyway because this is what I'm conditioned to doing. That would have been me taking advantage of somebody, because that's not me. I'm not a ministry or anything, not yet. Now, if God called me to do that, then I'll know in the future. But in the meantime, that's not what I'm called to do. But I wanted to say that because prayer is not just an intimate place. It's also a place where you get to discern and judge, and you have to know the integrity. A person who's anointed is going to come in a level of integrity. Now, you got some people who just gotten their anointing or just started walking, and they don't have enough walking around since. And so we'll know those people by their fruit. They'll tell you right away who they are. They'll tell us right away who
right.
they are. You can look at them and hear what they're talking about and what they're saying. This is why
yeah.
I have to call myself accountable, because if you are not moving right, I can't endorse you. I have to say, listen, I got to come back to you. Because I got to keep it moving, because I got too much riding. I have too much to lose. I have too much to lose to play with people. And I have too much to lose to cause myself to be in a place of anger and resentment. Because that's the one area where we could cop resentments at the most, when it comes to our spiritual leaders especially. Because we go into those relationships with a level of expectation, but let's call it fair. Every relationship we go into, whether it's a friend, a neighbor, or whatever, our children, you know, coming to me and my relationship, like me and you, with me and you, I expect the
mm-hmm.
level of honesty, integrity. I expect you to be responsible, tell me the truth, as you are. As you are. So
yeah.
we're talking about, soul ties and things of that nature. Yeah. But now, we're talking about, because it all starts somewhere. These clowns were crowns running around facilitating, manipulating, womanizing, lying, stealing, and just doing all kinds of, because it takes a lot of energy to put that kind of time
to do all that.
To do that. See, that's what makes me cuss a pastor or a prophet or anybody out. See, I'm not that well, because I will. I'm not to be played with that way. And I don't like to see anybody else do that with anybody else. It really, really bothers me underneath my skin. And then I become dangerous at that point. What God had to do with me was say, pray for people, learn to pray for people, and then take responsibility, not just for your actions, but take responsibility of telling people what they're responsible for. So that's why we were doing this topic here, Clowns with Crowns. Because even though these people are out here doing what they're doing, as queens, we have crowns too. We can't be going up out here representing ourselves, doing just so anything, and letting anybody do anything to us. We can't. We cannot. And then get lost when it goes backwards, when it gets sour, and then feel disappointed. Look, and this is something else I learned, that on this journey, I'm always going to experience disappointment. The difference is, it's disappointment now and not devastation. It's okay for me to be disappointed, but it's not okay for me to be devastated by every relationship that I encounter on this journey and building this empire. That shouldn't be happening. That shouldn't be happening. There's a big difference in that. So that's why I wanted to go there. And the reason why I went that route, Monica, was I don't want our listeners to believe that this is all about relationships, because a lot of our sisters, especially because we're talking about women right now for the month of May and mothers, a lot of our sisters, our queens in the kingdom, end up in these bondage relationships and being manipulated or even lied on by these clowns with crowns. You understand? And I don't want them to feel that this is all in a relationship, because sometimes it's just somebody that they didn't do no work for, or someone who couldn't take advantage of them or use them or manipulate them. You know, they get really, really upset if you can't be manipulated. If you ladies know, when you stop the manipulation, it doesn't matter who it is, but when you put your foot down on a manipulation, the folk get mad. And the best thing that you can do in those situations, everyone who knows me, I see California on the line in Chicago. Hey, guys. Hey, Letitia. I see Letitia. How are you? Hey, Eleanor. I see Eleanor. Hey, Davion. I see Davion and Devon. How are you? Hey, how are you guys? Hey, Kevin. How are you? So I'm just a shout out to you guys. I love you. Love you. I wanted to say this, is that even though we do that and we understand that we don't allow ourselves to be used, we have to take direct responsibility for discernment. That's we have to take direct responsibility for discernment and then being careful. Because, again, guys, this isn't just romantic relationships. Let's not get it twisted. We're talking about fellowshipping. We have to take direct relationship to fellowshipping, and I believe big time. That's why I was talking about prayer earlier when I said that, because prayer life is very intimate. So when you're praying with people, you have to bring your judgment with you. You have to pray, get good soundness with you, because now you got to enter in and really touch in with the Holy Spirit. You have to really, really touch in. Right. You have to really, really touch in with the Holy Spirit, and not just touch in with the Holy Spirit. You have to be able to experience the Holy Spirit for a moment. And when you're in prayer and when you're getting some word or revelation, those who are gifted in prophecy and discernment of tongues and other gifts, via the Holy Spirit. Prayer and the power of prayer is so important. If you don't have a prayer team, please get one. If you are not praying and you don't have leadership, please get one. Because if you're doing it and you're walking alone, Jesus didn't do it and walk it alone. Jesus did not do it and walk it alone at all. And neither should we. Neither should we.
Right.
There's power in numbers. And the one thing that will cause a person's demise is trying to do something alone. Always start
with
prayer.
There's safety.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Safety in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there's power in seclusion, though. Being secluded.
How so? What do you mean by that?
Sometimes alone is one thing, but when you're saying lonely, that's a whole other ordeal.
Yeah.
But being by yourself and being alone to do certain things is one thing. When you're trying to do things on the account of by yourself, and that's just impossible. So I don't even know why anybody would even try.
Right.
It's because you're still going to have to do these things with someone. Whether you are moving about by yourself is one thing. But you still have to utilize and get the expertise and help of others for it to do what it's doing. So whatever your goal is, people are still involved. Even when you don't think they're involved, they're still involved.
But you said there was power in seclusion. What did you mean by that?
Right. Being secluded, meaning when you're doing things, whether you're in numbers, when you're doing things in numbers is one thing. You know, you strike a mighty force, a mighty blow, you know, all the great cliche speeches that people can give. But then there is seclusion. When you are secluded, when you're in that moment of your, you know, consecrating your prayer, you know, having to recharge and things like that, that's where your power is. You just have to know when to utilize it, because everything ain't always meant to be in a group fashion. Sometimes you can't pray within the group. You got to do something by yourself.
That's interesting because I was speaking with Prophetess Elena, and I don't think she'll mind me saying this, because people don't know her. I don't think that anyone really knows her, but I've gotten to know the person and the beautiful person she is, like, oh, my God. And so, like, I see her in a new light every time I talk to her. Every time I talk to her. Like, today we were talking about art and different things and growing up in New York and all. And she's had some devastation. And one of the things she said to me was, no, I need to take a step back. She was saying just what you're saying to me, Monica, about, and she didn't say seclusion, but that's what she meant. I didn't realize that that's what she meant, but that's what she meant. Yeah, I can appreciate it. Mm-hmm. So I know what you're saying. So that's a good thing, because, you know, us older people would say, oh, I got to consecrate. I got to set myself aside. And so I'm used to shutting down and being by myself, you know, and because that's what we did. And, you know, back in the day when you had to go on vacation. Everybody know what vacation means. When you had to go on your vacation.
Yeah.
When I was on vacation, you know. I had to know how to, you know, be by myself. You know.
Right. There's power in that seclusion. This is what I mean.
Right. Yeah. It is.
You know,
because you get to step back.
There's power
with
in that seclusion.
Because,
yeah, like I said, you can move with all the groups of people you want to. And that's great. Like, people are there on Instagram, and they're doing all kinds of things and movement and, you know, rah-rah, we here and all this stuff. And that's great. But when you really need to really recharge, when you really need to, because all of that, that's just people energy. You're connecting with all those other energies. Some of those energies, if you're not with the right people especially, are going to pull on you. You got to have a way to recharge. You got to have a way to sit back and go, oh, let me breathe a little bit. Let me recharge. Let me shake all this off. When I come in from a days of work, you know, out here, when I do my whole chronicle thing with the lift thing or whatever the case may be, for me, I don't do it where it's a need. I do it because there's ministry behind it. Sometimes I can be out here and I'm by myself right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And there's like, this is what I would say, because a lot of women are like, you're outside in the wee hours of the night sometimes. Sometimes you're outside in the wee hours of the morning. That's not safe. But I'm safe in my seclusion because I rock with the Holy Spirit. Prayer, and I'm doing my ministry thing.
Right. See, that's the thing about, I want to entertain that thought for a minute, because I had a young lady say to me just the other day, well, you guys are doing this business and that business, and why did you let your daughter go do that? And that was a form of those clowns were crowns. Because in her mind, she felt like that's not what you should be doing, and then I should be somehow exercising control over what you do. And so, guys, this is why I'm just wanting to share this, because this is how that bondage and manipulation happens. I never
and
even mentioned
it to you. And this is how you get a quick cuss out from me.
Right. and on me. So, but mm-hmm. this is the thing about it is that the we cannot allow people to dictate. I couldn't go to my own daughter and say, yeah, even though you've got 3-4 other jobs and, well, excuse me, companies, because we really don't work for anybody, but you and then you're out here and you're doing this, and but why? And then me trying to stop her and how she's doing. Now, I could give her a suggestion on something and make a suggestion, but I don't have a right, even as her mother, to say, this is what you should or should not be doing because God told me you should do it like this. You see, that's a form of manipulation. Those things could be...
Especially once you've raised me to understand.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those things
could
be manipulation.
I can hear God for myself. So anything that you say to me, if I had to receive it, and usually if it's a jolt or something, I know it because
mm-hmm.
there's a confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
There's conviction in things. If I'm doing something and you have to go, hey, hello, come back down to
mm-hmm.
earth, and you're here, what's up? Sometimes I got
mm-hmm.
to go to the cosmos, though, because I be trying to get some things done, and I can only get it done up there. So
mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay,
mm-hmm.
let me get to it. And, you know, then that's exactly what I mean by power in seclusion. Even on Facebook, that's a group thing. People are on there looking at all your stuff. Is none of my stuff is up there on that Facebook page. After a while, like, you can see the evolution of Monica, you know, at some point. When you look at it, the older, you know, because there's some old posts and things in there, if you can even access it. But outside of that, you know, I have not posted anything on. Every now and then I might post some really nice memes or things that I might feel that I might like. But after that, there's nothing. You don't see anything on there as far as work, you know, business. All those things are not supposed. I feel like they're not supposed to be there because you become a target. You understand? That's why there's power in seclusion, because when people don't know all that you got going on what
and
you're doing, it's hard for them to speculate.
Yeah. Well,
right.
Let me tell you something too, because discretion is so key. I know we're in an open format and all that, and we're talking. We want to be honest with our listeners and our audience and things like that, but we still need to use some discretion. And I use
absolutely.
So much discretion and discretion over the years. No one knows what I do for a living. No one knows how I make. When people have been knowing me for years, they have no clue.
Right, and have
they
no
have
clue.
No clue. And I don't even give details. And that's important.
Right.
So I'm just saying that and stressing that again, because that information is privy to a small select group of people. It shouldn't even be shared here. So I'm saying
right.
that because this is what's happened, that a lot of people are pursued, even on social media. They have been pursued so that they're not in just being able to pursue them for just stupidness, but some people are pursued because they look like they got money or they appear to have money. There's all kinds of things that would allow a person to be not just pursued, but to be solicited. I want to use that word, being solicited for
exactly.
someone else. And then, you know, at times people will sell other people. I've had these are sisters and brothers who have told me, they've spoke to other people on my behalf, and said, oh, well, this is what she doing. She got this or she does that, and have no clue
right.
what I really do, have no clue what I really do. And next thing you know, your business is being talked about. Or we share so
right.
much of ourselves in so many details and then wonder why something goes a little eerie because
right.
it's too much has been given out there. God talks about discretion.
Right.
When we started the show, I gave the definition of discretion. We were talking about
mm-hmm.
discretion and being discreet, and I gave the definition of it. And we should be careful about that. We have to be careful
yeah.
about that because sometimes on any platform, we could share too much. We want to be honest, but there's a certain level, for queendom's sake, to being careful about what we share and what we
yeah.
allow a person to know. See, I didn't know that in the beginning
and
stages,
tolerate.
Even of... Right. Yeah, I didn't know that. I remember doing things and talking with people, even on different prayer lines. You know, people know this or people know that. And, you know, and I wasn't thinking about it. I wasn't thinking about it. Now I'm not, you know, I don't have any issues with it because I refuse on this platform that belongs to Big Girl Talk, this hour thing. We can talk about what we want to talk about here. But with them folk, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have to be so careful. We have to be so
yeah.
careful. And this is the platform. I know me and Monica talked about opening the floor and opening a dialogue. You know, we're going to be coming at you guys with Clowns with Crowns for 40 days. And we just don't know if it's going to be during a weekday, you know, and just opening the floor and inviting guests on. We're going to have different people come on and just sharing their experience so that we could bring some enlightenment. Bring some healing, you know, because it could be devastating. Bring healing to the situation, you know.
And,
yeah.
And speaking of, I just wanted to, because I wanted to give a shout out to Miss Raylana. I don't know if she's in here, if she's listening,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of give a moment of silence. Her son has passed away, so
okay.
It was a strange thing,
she was calling
me, and she was. Yeah, he's
oh,
gone
wow.
now, and so, you know, he was
well,
just
well, so wait,
for,
when did you find that out? When did you find out that he was gone?
Well, I've been holding it for a few days, so I said,
okay.
And I've been working, you know, kind of like calling
mm-hmm.
and dealing with her in that sense and like her, you know, the
I'm
level
so
of
sorry.
Emotion and stuff kind of. But she said that when it was just so strange because I, you know, she was like, he called and he said, hey, mama, I love you. He was going through the I love yous and stuff. And she said, something ain't right. So she sent her husband over there, you know, his father, to go and check on him. And he had been, you know, out sleep, you know, from the alcohol. He had alcohol and all these are things that he wasn't supposed to have after whatever that bout was. He was going through the stress or whatnot. Divorce mm-hmm. situations, these are, you know, because divorce and relationships, they can be ugly. So the reason why I'm putting it out is because these things can take you out. Depression
mm-hmm.
can take you out. If you're stuck
mm-hmm.
in certain bondages, they can take you out. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is somebody's son. He was a perfectly capable young man.
Mm-hmm.
And out
mm-hmm.
of nowhere, he the same spot that his father put him in when he came over there to clean up and make sure he was okay. He left
mm.
there, and his child was breathing, and he was in that same spot. That is where he died, so he was saying his goodbyes, and, you know,
mm.
just profound, but I wanted to, because I know that she may have been, you know, tuning in and out of the line.
Yeah,
she was having some phone
team.
Trouble, too, but I wanted to acknowledge
in
that
Virginia,
queen.
Right?
Because it
in
still
Virginia?
Is Mother's Day, right? She's
mm-hmm.
in Virginia.
Right.
Right, so
yeah.
I wanted to acknowledge that queen and where she is and what she's got
mm-hmm.
going on. And
mm-hmm.
make sure she knows she is loved. And this is, again, like when I say power in seclusion, because you can have a group of people around you, like I said, but sometimes you have to be quiet.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You got to be, because you don't want everybody in a situation. When you go
my
through
seclusion.
Things health-wise,
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
When you go when you go through things health-wise and stuff like that, or when I go through things health-wise, even in that, you see, I was dealing with someone. There's a secluded measure that you have to take, especially if you are doing things in your supernatural gifts.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot be open and moving in a group all the time. Because even in that, like there's so many different ways they even explain this seclusion thing, because you can have God calling so many. He calls so many, mm-hmm. and there are so many who are also qualified. There
mm-hmm.
are some that have specific things to do in the kingdom, and there are some that have other things to do. And you have to be, leery of those who are trying to pull all the jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Do everything, mm-hmm. one minute they are an apostle, the next minute they're a prophet, the next minute they're the bishop, And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
okay, it's great to speak into your future and all, but really, where you
mm-hmm.
going? So, those things kind of make me a little leery. I get a little worried, not even worried, because I'm really unbothered.
Oh, that's the whole point. That's the whole point is that we're talking about with clowns or crowns, and so we have to know what we're entertaining.
Yeah.
We have to know where we're spending
time.
You got to
know what you're entertaining.
Yeah, wherever I'm spending some time at, whatever I'm putting my time into, and it's not, God's not getting no glory out of it, then I'm out of line. I'm out of
mm-hmm.
line. If I'm entertaining something or anybody that where God can't use me, I'm out of line. I'm out of line. Like I know I have two phone calls that I absolutely have to make before I go to sleep tonight and let folk know how I feel about what I know was wrong. And because one of them slipped in a conversation on me that I didn't think about until after I hung up, And I said, whoa, wait a minute. Did I just hear that? It was one of those things in an agreement about something that was not right, and it was so subtle. I said, wait a minute, I got to go back to that. And I got to let you know, not only is it wrong, but now I need you got to get ready before you can work with me ever again. You got to get right before you come fool up with me, because that's just important. That's important. But healing is so important.
It is.
Healing,
and she'll
healing
heal,
is important.
And she is healing.
Mm-hmm.
And so the safety. There's a difference between being lonely and there's a difference between being alone.
Wow. Uh huh.
So.
Mm-hmm.
People got it, and I always say it all the time, just like, Audrey Hepburn, who said impossible has the word I'm possible in it, which means that you are possible. And then there is, there's, of course, safety numbers, power and seclusion. There is God qualifies his called when he calls them. Many are called, but few are chosen. There's a whole bunch of different things. But, again, when you are looking to do anything, you still have to move in a discreet manner. Even with leaders, they have to move discreetly. They can't expose everything.
No, we're not supposed to, but you're not supposed to be lying about anything either.
You ain't supposed to
be
lying either,
but
you can't,
No.
But you cannot take and expose or put all your stuff out there. There's people that don't understand. You give too much.
I remember I used to
do that once upon a time, and people used to, it used to be a thing where they would begin, now they're trying to figure me out and figure out what's going on, and I have had to learn how to not share all, and because, me at one point, I was like, oh, great to have friends, and now it's not for me. They say nobody's ever too rich to have a friend, but what a friend we have in Jesus. That's what I say, because, sometimes even friends can be penetrated and they can go about and do things and be used or influenced to do things against you.
That's why prayer is important. I try not to. Consecrating, because like I'll set myself aside in a moment. It's important for me to rejuvenate and you have that one-on-one time with me for me. And before,
right.
or other than that, then I'm drained. But also in that prayer life, because when we're entertaining people, we have to understand that with friends, family, whatever, I even watch colleagues and people that we work with, and when the prayer life starts falling off, guess what? We are all subject. I know when my prayer life falls off, I'm borderline not no good for nobody. When my prayer life falls off, I'm no good. I'm no good. And
right.
because then I not only don't have any accountability, but I don't have no conviction about nothing. And then I'm caught up in,
mm-hmm.
I'm not only caught up in my feelings, I'm caught up in my brain, because this brain is constantly telling me to cut people out. And
right.
that's not the walk that God wants me to walk, and that's not what I want to do. I don't want to feel myself that way. Forget what I look like for nobody, but I don't want to feel that. And because there's a whole lot of stress and everything that comes with that, you know. And I could joke around
yeah.
and be like, "Yeah, I'm not trying to make myself old before my time and all that stuff." You know, I joke and I pray, but on a serious note, guys, it is so important. It is so important to be for me to have control over what I'm doing in my emotions. And I'm saying this especially to you guys down in Chicago, especially at this time in your lives, it is so important to have control over your temperament and your mood and your emotions. And I'm speaking to myself, because when I don't, I'm everywhere. I am literally
yeah.
all over the place. Like literally. You know, and with my thoughts, my feelings, my decisions, I don't see the choices that are really before me. You know, and I could kill an opportunity, and that's just, you know, that just takes a lot. It just takes a lot about it away. It really does. So I know that too. One of the things I realized, and this was so important for me in my relationships, is I had to make sure that I'm not manipulating anyone. I had to make sure that I'm not that person manipulating and lying. See, prayer helps me to stay in touch with my integrity. Prayer helps me to stay in touch with my integrity. It really, really does. It helps me to stay in touch with my integrity. It helps me to stay convicted. When I don't have my prayer life right, and I'm surrounded by the right people, I'm convicted. Guess what? We don't even meet the right people when we don't have a good, solid team. Because people feel like, oh, well, you know,
mm-hmm.
you alone. I can do what I want to do to you. You know what I'm
right.
saying? And yeah.
And
yeah.
that's when you break out the boom.
mm-hmm,
and even
mm-hmm.
in seclusion, you still got some power there, because there's some people will think twice. They're like, okay.
Yeah.
One moment they're like, okay, she's by herself. Oh, okay, let me see.
Mm-hmm,
let me go over
mm-hmm.
here. Like that, you know, and then there's like, oh,
mm-hmm.
okay. Oh,
mm,
she ain't scared
mm-hmm.
of nothing. She don't even got enough of sense to be afraid of nothing. No,
goodness,
I don't.
Yes, and
I
look,
don't
look.
Because my conclusion allows me that power to know I can hurt
mm-hmm.
you if I need to.
Mm-hmm.
There's a holy
mm-hmm.
indignification, because I know there's a plot on my space and on my life from the devil or whatever you
mm-hmm.
want to call him, and the unemployed cherub, you know, Lucifer, whatever you want to call
mm-hmm.
him.
Mm-hmm.
There's this plot. I know you've been plotting
mm-hmm.
for a long time. You've been plotting on my whole bloodline. My
mm-hmm.
whole bloodline. All of them joined together. You've been plotting. And that's cool. I got something for you.
Well,
you know,
we got
I had a question.
Mm-hmm.
Go
on. Go
okay,
on.
Yep,
mm-hmm.
let's go to the question. I was just going to say
no.
I was
mm-hmm.
I was going to say that I was in the car the other day, and I was taking just one man by himself. He was wearing all black. You know, he looked very welcoming to weird. And I was like, okay, hey, how you doing? You know me, my crazy bubbly self. And when he got in the car, he started talking about the different things. You know, you could tell he was doing, and you know, into the whole dark, dark arts and, you know, I just try not to look past it. Some people like to wear jewelry and things for other reasons, you know. But I saw it, and I could feel the energy, and he was just not as welcoming to my opening Heavenly Portal music I had planned. He says, he spoke about an organization.
Wow.
I don't even want to give it enough power to even say it or speak it in the air, so I don't. But he spoke about an organization that he belonged to, and he said, you don't even have enough sense to be afraid. I said, because whatever that organization is, boo, whoever the leader of that organization is and whoever he adheres to, because he was basically talking about Satan worshiping and whatnot, I said, he worships me. He's still an unemployed cherub. He still don't have, he has an assignment even in that. I don't have any sense to be afraid. And that whole ride went silent. And he couldn't wait to get out there. He was so shifty, couldn't wait to get out the car. He was fidgety, couldn't keep still. For me, that my belief system, you know, I believe all the way down to the atomical level of my makeup that my God is going to protect me, where I'm going, what I'm doing, when I'm doing it. And it's so funny because all of these rides come when I go offline. All of a sudden, bing, they pop up. I've ran into people needing help, needing to get away from a party, you know, all kinds of different things. I'm like, y'all got to go. And, you know, I'm like, okay. So, again, that seclusion and that power, you know, within seclusion, all of that, it's just what it is. That young girl who was in that car where them guys jumped out and was getting ready to take her, she hit them people. That's the power of seclusion. It's just that same analogy. Here come an attack of an enemy, and boom, she's secluded. She's in a big vehicle or in a vehicle. It could be a small, short vehicle. But it got enough armor around it.
You're talking about
rubble.
The girl that was riding on the highway that, and those guys were, they were plotting to stop people and either kidnap them or do whatever they were.
Right. And she ended up hitting them. That's right. That's power in seclusion, baby, all day long. That's the same analogy, because you can be by yourself. But around you is that seclusion. You got any angels. Angels are secluded. They are, you know,
well,
secluded.
Well, that's the power
and
of tapping in. Let's not just say seclusion. I want to say this right here. The power of consecrating yourself unto God, unto the Holy Spirit, because you can get secluded and have some craziness going on. So being accountable when you're setting that time apart, making an agreement with yourself and the Holy Spirit, because that's what's going to keep you in wisdom, period.
Yeah,
let's say that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Consecration. Let's put another word on it, and consecration, because a lot of people kill themselves in seclusion and commit suicide and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to call it consecration.
They commit suicide in the spirit of loneliness, not seclusion.
Well, it's tomato, tomato, we could call it. But let's call it like a T.I. is, because this is the truth. And the truth is, you must do it into consecration unto the Holy Spirit. Outside of the Holy Spirit, you ain't did nothing but set yourself up. Okay.
And then there's isolation.
That's what you're talking
about. Isolation, not seclusion.
Yes.
Those things come in that way. There's the five deadly bees.
And let me tell you why it's important to, and why I'm saying it that way, Monica, too, because one of the things that you and I have discovered is dilution. When you're on your mission and on your walk, diluting the word, there's the King James Version. And this came up in one of our prayer meetings as well. And then you have all these other versions of the word in the Bible. And then there's history and what we've learned and what we've been taught. But there's something about the anointed word in the King James Version. People, and now mind you, there were those who wrote those books in the King James Version who had some issues and concerns. However, the word was anointed in itself. Now, I could go take another book that Sideshow Bob wrote, and he's bringing some understanding to the word. So now he's going to change some of that word to make it understandable for a child. But see, as a child, you eat as a child, but as an adult, you eat and think like an adult. As a man, you eat and think like a man. You understand what I'm saying? So when we take some words and we try to use some words that are understandable on one level, we have to be careful that we're not diluting the word, because then, therefore, then we get diluted. So that's why I choose to say consecration, because this is very serious, because we could talk about other things. If we're not doing it through the Holy Spirit, we got a problem. If we're not consecrating unto the Lord and spending time alone with the Lord, and then consecration, we got a problem. I could sit and read my books and take some time for myself and go into that place of seclusion. I better be doing it with God and with the Holy Spirit. I better be reading with God. I like to write and work on my books and things like that. I better be doing it with the Holy Spirit and with God. I better be. You understand? I know when I'm mad or lose my temper, I better be getting back to a place of not just apologizing and being convicted, but I have to be repenting and finding a way to work on that some more too. But let me go ahead. I wanted to read the question for Renee, and I don't know where her question went at. I'm so sorry, Renee. But if you write it again, type it again for me, and I'll find it, okay? And you too, Jackson's mama, if you could type your question again. Sheila Square, you said stop trusting people and put your trust in God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean into not your own understanding, and then all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Proverbs 3:5. And I thank God for you, ladies, and we thank you, too. Thank you, Sheila. All right. Truly Kay, I'm trying to tell my son this. I'm so glad I finally get it. I enjoy your company and your show. I used to have people around me all the time. Now I don't. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Truly Kay. No, we don't need to have people all around us all the time. Yep. Jackson's mom typed lies. People, these assassinators and character assassinations are smear campaigns. There have been smear campaigns against me and my family, and against me. Actually, God led me during these smear campaigns and lies against me, led me to God. I couldn't understand why someone who claimed to love me and love God was saying do horrible things to me. Then one day, I heard a pastor say, the devil is a liar, and it's the truth. And she said, whoa, so much revelation ever since, because the devil is a liar. We must be careful of those people who lie and cannot keep the truth. Yep, that's what she, and Alyssa Walker says, a mighty strong one at best and right on. And Renee, I'm waiting for your question because I saw it. I'm so sorry. Patricia Sidney says, I can't wait to hear more from you ladies because I have been lied on and lied upon just on today by my own spiritual leader. He has devastated me in my heart. The devil is a liar. The blood of Jesus is against him. That's Patricia Sidney. Patricia, we're praying for you. And there's hope and there's strength. Sherry McLeod said, exactly. I am not a trash can. I should be well spoken of and well spoken about. Thank you, Queen Hollis. Oh, you must know her on Facebook. Thank you, Queen Hollis. Very much. All right.
And what's the name?
That's Cheryl McLeod. And Robin Smith.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Robin Smith says, I have been victimized and been a victim of many lies. It's incredible how lies can destroy your life and have tried to destroy mine because I trusted the wrong people with my truth and my entire life in some of my background, and it damaged me. Because of my faith and me trying to stay focused on the word of God, I have been able to sustain now and for now. I know how people and how they truly feel about me, but I can also focus on redirecting my focus on those people who do truly care about me and who I trust. Thank you, and I thank you for bringing this topic. That's Robin Smith. Thank you, Robin. Stephanie Knight says, thank you for this message. Tracy Street said, thank you. Glory to God. Shout out to all you ladies. Jason's mom, Martina, shout out to you guys. Thank you for listening. We're just here just to bring it like we see it. You know, we're not, and I just want to say, we're not doctors or counselors or psychiatrists or therapists. We're just a mother and a daughter who have a conversation about real life situations. We have a team of support and other ladies that are not just in ministry, but in leadership, because we're all queens and we're all in leadership. If you're a mother, you're in leadership. You're in a leadership position. If you're a mother, you're in leadership position. And so I just want to say that first above all these other titles that we can give ourselves as whether it's a business title or a clergy title or anything, we're all leaders. And we have a duty to ourselves to discern on character, to find ourselves being empowered by the word of God, getting into faith, being into hearing the word, and surrounding ourselves with solid leaders, not people who pretend to be, not people who are in ill character, not people who have lost their way and trying to find their way back. We can love on them, but we can't let them lead us and abuse us and retell our stories. We can't do that. We can't do that. We have a right to stand up for ourselves. If you don't know how, I could be cliché-ist and say pray to the Lord and ask God for guidance. That's true. You can do that too, and you should absolutely do that. But I'm absolutely going to encourage you to get a support group, a solid support group, and people who bear the character of strength, prayer, and warriorship. You know, even if you do it on Blog Talk Radio or Facebook or YouTube, it doesn't matter how you do it, but discern on the information you want and get with groups of people that you have something in common with. So and discerning, that is so important. That was so important. We have so many people right now that are in a situation and they don't know where they are or how they're going to come out of it. I know that there were a few people in different groups that I have on Facebook and I have reached out to, but this week was a hectic week, and the event and the affair that happened in Texas, even though we found that our relatives are safe, but we had a relative, our great uncle's daughter, her two children were in that school. Now, they didn't get hurt, but they were in that school. And so I just wanted to just share, because we went through a lot this week. So if someone didn't get any information or get something that I really wanted you to have, don't stress it, because I'll make sure that you have it. And just a shout out to, I don't know if I see Letitia on the line still, but she was here earlier. But Letitia first, I just wanted you to know we're going to make sure to get that list to you. And I just love you. I love what you do, what you stand for, Letitia, and what you're trying to do for you and your family. But I also love that you have the gift that you do in terms of your tenacity and moving around social media management and sharing information. But I do want to make sure that everyone, if you don't know this, that we meet in Zoom every Saturday. We were doing it at 10 a.m., but that's a little bit too early. And I had woken up a little bit sick today. I was up early. Miss Benita Ewing, she was going to join us as well, but she joined us later. And then also at 4 o'clock every Saturday is when we'll come together in accountability. And because I'm only one person, Monica's only one person, you guys already know she works like a Jamaican. She got 4, 5, 6, 7 things that she do. And so that's why it's easier for us to meet, to have that meeting and be able to bring accountability to what we say and remind me of something that you may need, because these things are usually at my fingertip and I can make sure that you have it while we're in discussion, because I'm literally doing something all day and I can't get on the phone just that way and just pick up the phone whenever I choose to. Okay. So I just wanted to put that out there, Monica. I'm so sorry.
Yep.
I just wanted to share that. I wanted to share that. Thank you. Yeah, I thank you
and
for
then,
all that you're
for the mm-hmm. now. I have to give a shout out to those who have done the you know, supported the CMOS business as well. And mm-hmm. I am right now, I'm, you know, because we had to get rid of the fulfillment company that or the courier company. So
mm-hmm. Right.
I'm doing the fulfillment and everything myself.
Right.
So and it was just because I can't trust people with my stuff. You know, I can't do it. So I am overloaded with orders. So I have not taken any more orders until I get the rest of them out. So just know that if you did not receive the remaining of your orders yet, they are coming this week.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
You know,
and
they'll
guys,
be there. You will
absolutely.
Be sorted this week. So I'm sorry for the delay. I do apologize. But, yeah, I'm mm-hmm. one woman showing it because I do not trust the integrity of others. And that's a prime example of clowns and crowns because these people promised me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they
and
promised me a certain thing
another.
And did not deliver.
You'll get another fulfillment company
so.
And get those things out there. And I'm sure you handle that and be accountable, of course. And keep in mind that we were opening up the network for hourly slots and if you feel that you have something that you want to talk about and you want to take an hour slot on our network, just either send us if you don't have our email, or inbox us on Big Girl Talk or on our Facebook page. Just inbox us with your email address and say, I would like to have an hour at this time on this day, and we could make sure that that's set up for you so that you can do that and come in and talk about what you feel that you need to talk about. And that's something that we're going to be doing as well for the entire month of June. Okay, so we are going to be doing for June and July, we're going to be talking and interviewing with men who have been abused, and we're going to be bringing more guests on in August, but for the month of June and July, that's going to be our topic. But for the rest of the week, for June and July, we will be talking about clowns with crowns. And so if you have something that you want to share, you know, just inbox us, send us a message, and let us know what time you would like to be on, and we'll let you know what the schedule is, and we'll certainly extend that to you. Yep. I do want to play that clip about a woman's purpose, and I think it's important for me to do that right about now before we close out. Thank you guys for listening in, but just one second. I'm going to go ahead and play this by Genetics.
Not here. Those of you who've seen him know he would be able to handle this situation. Amen. Can we stay in worship just for a little bit? Is that all right? Just for a little bit. Oh. I'm so grateful to the Lord for this opportunity. Thankful to the Lord just for us women coming together to worship the Most High God. It's interesting that we can be our own worst enemy. We can spend so much time tearing each other down instead of encouraging one another and building one another up, being willing to be in the trenches with our sisters in Christ. And so we could just, and y'all don't have to say it. We just however you want to worship, you worship. And I'm just so grateful. just reflecting on my life and my past and where I've been and even current things that I currently deal with. One of the hardest things for me to do in life is trust the Lord. And the amazingness and the beauty of who God is although he has proven himself, although he's done enough to where he never has to do anything again, he still shows me in ways that I can trust him. So let's just stay here for a second. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I don't really love you more than anything, God. That's really the truth. I don't love your word more than anything. I'd rather spend hours and hours and countless hours on my timeline than I ever would in your word. So that's, I don't really love you more than anything. So let's just try this one. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. Y'all know this? Amen. Every step that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my will.
Wait, hold on, stop. That's actually not true either. Because my heart is divided between my will and your will. And it's so much easier to choose my will because your will requires patience and your will requires faith and your will requires me to get out of the boat and actually walk on water. But I'd much rather choose the easier route because I can see, taste, feel, hear, see all of those things in front of me, and it's much easier. So I'd rather choose my will than yours. So that's actually not true either. So maybe this one.
I surrender all to everything I give to you, withholding nothing, I surrender.
Hold on a second. Actually, haven't surrendered all yet. There's just some things that I just have not let go of. Some people who've got on my nerves. Some people I have attitudes with. Some people I know I probably should apologize and ask for forgiveness from. But I haven't really surrendered it to you, so I really can't go to them and ask for forgiveness because I haven't let it go. It's much easier for me to be mad than to let it go. And humbling myself, who's ever going to do that, right? Because, I mean, you humbled yourself enough to come down from on high and become God and man, and 100% God, 100% man. You came here, humbled yourself, and you didn't think that equality with God was something that should be held on to, but you humbled yourself on behalf of me, so why would I do something like follow in your ways?
Forget trying to look deep within my eyes. Cause deep within my soul I'm trying to decipher what's wrong and what's right and what's right. Each and every day it's harder to see the light. Who said the road would be easy when you're trying to live the life, the life, the life? Cause if you choose to fight, you might have to bleed. And when it gets real tight, it may be hard to breathe. In the middle of the night, you may not get to sleep. But do you want your victory? Cause if you choose to fight, you might have to bleed. And when it gets real tight, it may be hard to breathe. In the middle of the night, you may not get to sleep. But do you want your victory?
It's really a shame how long we've proclaimed your name. How long we've stayed stagnant, complacent, remained the same. And now this little light of mine is just a flickering flame, driven by the thoughts of all the flames and entertainment. Temporary pleasure for the price of your soul. Now you lost, can't find control like your TV remote. And now you have no other option, so you might as well pray. asking for forgiveness of the same sins every day? Come on, it's got to get better. Come on, whatever the weather. Come on and put on your sweater. Come on, let's get it together. I just want to be one of the righteous. Don't take it personal because I might just have to cut you off because Judgment Day is coming up right behind us. You got it all figured out, huh? All worked out, huh? 1, 2, 5, 10, 20-year plan, huh? Doing big things, huh? With your own agenda. Schedule so tight, no room for God to enter. See, I've been wounded in this war. Been fighting in this war. It's like I give myself away, but yet you still require more. And it's all the tears and the crying and the fears and the screams. I hear the lies that he's telling me, but it's easier to believe because this pain feels realer than the truth I've received. I said this pain feels realer than the truth I've received. See, all this time I'm forgetting that faith has nothing to do with what I can actually see, but believing the one who gave up the Son on behalf of the sins of me. And if I'm honest, I don't trust you. And I don't mean it when I say a place no one above you. Please change my heart and mind so I can say I truly love you. Can't do this on my own. I need your spirit to lead and guide and strength to fight when flesh don't want to. So this ain't no partial, ladies. We got to give him everything. Take this as a warning. We already know we're strange. We're cut from a different cloth. They can't explain our DNA. Somebody better call a medic because this is an emergency. See, we've busted out the box, and we've broken all the locks, even escaped the routine of the religious headlocks. They'd be like, wait, this is different. They must be some rebels. This don't sound like gospel. It must be the devil. Check it. We laying bricks. We're following his blueprint. So if you have a problem, blame him that we are misfits. We laying bricks. We're following his blueprint. So if you have a problem, blame him that we are misfits. Forget trying to look deep within my eyes. Cause deep within my soul, I'm trying to decipher what's wrong and what's right and what's right. Each and every day, it's harder to see the light. Who said the road would be easy when you're trying to live the life, the life, the life? Cause if you choose to fight, you might have to bleed. And when it gets rock tight, it may be hard to breathe. In the middle of the night, you may not get to sleep. But do you want your victory? So if you choose to fight, you might have to bleed. And when it gets real tight, it may be hard to breathe. In the middle of the night, if you get on your knees, then you will have the victory.